Okay, here we go. Let's start the show.
Love.
Hate.
Men.
Women.
Community.
People.
Music.
Me. I know it's going to say I'm retarded at the end. Go ahead.
Church. Sex.
Memories.
Javon, you up.
All right. Lyrics.
Oh, work.
Musical.
Genius.
Billie Holiday.
My mama.
Money.
Tragedy.
Shaka Khan.
Girlfriend.
Personality.
Ugh. People don't have it.
But we try. Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Mickey Howard, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Mason, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
It is Leon. It's right, Leon, from some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in the basement with Therese and Siobhan. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with your partner to rest. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with your partner to rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. Awesome. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
All our offices, though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just gonna keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.
Hey, everybody, so glad you're here. All the people in the front, the people in the rear. Okay, I'm sorry, I just had to go there. Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Happy Saturday to you. So I'm going to let y'all know up front that we need to keep our sister Therese in prayer. She is not with us today, but hopefully she will be back Wednesday evening. So I don't, you know, pretend that Rezzy's coming, although she's always with me in spirit. So I just had to say that.
But Pop is here, and I'm here. And hopefully, we'll play some music until a very special person, dear friend of mine, and my pastor is supposed to be stopping by at about noon. So up until that point, it's just us, and you can call in, and please do call in so we could chit-chat a little bit. The number to call in is 347-996-5394. Press 1 or whatever, and I'll know you want to, you know, chit-chat with me. And, you know, we'll make it do what it do. And as Pop says, just remember this. The views, information, or opinions expressed during Brunch in the Basement series are solely those of the individual involved and do not necessarily represent those of WJBR Internet Radio. I just also want to put it out there, and I want to ask that everybody please either go to Blog Talk Radio or your favorite podcasting listening device. We have 49,000 and like 12 all-time listens. So it would be really, really cool to bring that up to 50,000. So we need about 1,000 more listens to get us over that hump. So you can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can go to iTunes. You can go here. You can go there. You can go anywhere. We are close to 50,000 listens. And for me personally, it would mean so much if we could get it over that hump. Now, the last show, which was Wednesday, I was trying to show you all this rapid fire that I had done for Joy Cardwell. And somewhere along the line, I fudged it up, you know, because I was doing too much. So this time I am prepared. And absolutely. Ooh, Pop, wait a minute. Wait, hold on an entire 60 seconds. What is this picture? Ooh, he's so suave. No, for real. Look at that, y'all. I'm about to make my screen bigger just so I could. What is this picture? He's so cute. He's so handsome. He's so sexy. You sexy motherfucker. Yeah, I said it. I did. Good morning, Miss DJ. How you doing, darling? So make sure you all tell a friend about Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. We are close to 50,000 listens on the podcasting piece. And we spread out a little bit, so it should be easier to find us under WJBR Internet Radio, all on your podcasting stations. I'm just saying, Pop is getting ready for his zaddy day. What? Huh. Just as handsome as he want to be. So anywho, so I have a special, I'm so happy that I did this, thought about this earlier this morning and didn't wait until the show started to start doing this shit. Because, you know, I'm one of those people that's slow in the brain in the morning and then it starts to around 11:30 is the sweet spot, maybe. Oh, that's why this picture is just beautiful, darling. Just handsome, just suave, okay? With an accent. We have to make it even more fancy because you look so delicious, darling, okay? Let them know that I said so, okay? On the radio. That's right, because you're so handsome. Okay, so moving away from this. Look at this picture. I should just fucking leave it there. So fucking cute. Cute! If you were here, you know what I'd do? You know what I'd do to you, Pop? You want to know? Anybody else want to know? I just... Okay. Yo. You know what? I love this dude. I don't know that you all know that. And it could be just the Leo in him. I don't know what it is. You know, Leos are the king of the jungle, and they move like cats in certain ways. And, you know, my father was a Leo, and so I guess I'm just kind of drawn that way. So, anyway, let me just move on before Pop shuts the show down. How about we do our Black History moment up front? Let's get that done, right? Yeah. So a Black History moment of today. Yes. This is a man named Dr. Ralph Bunche. A man who can be described as a peacemaker, Nobel Peace Prize recipient, Dr. Ralph Johnson Bunche, was born on August 7th, another Leo, of 1904 in Detroit, Michigan. Bunche was a diplomat and political scientist who is remembered internationally for his work as the chief mediator for the United Nations during the Arab-Israeli conflict, in which he received the Nobel Peace Prize on December 10, 1950, for the 1949 Armistice Agreement. He is the first Black person to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Bunche was also involved as a mediator in other major conflicts around the world. In 1968, he became the United Nations Under Secretary General. President John F. Kennedy awarded Bunche with the nation's highest civilian award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, in 1963. Earlier in life, Bunche received his undergraduate degree from UCLA by graduating summa cum laude and class valedictorian, in 1927. He earned his master's in 1934 from Harvard in political science. He was the first African American to receive his doctorate in political science. He later did postgraduate anthropological work at the London School of Economics and the University of Cape Town before completing his graduate degree from Harvard. Bunche started teaching political science at Howard University, where he served as chair of the Department of Political Science from 1928 until 1950. Bunche was active in civil rights and served for over 20 years on the NAACP board. He and his wife, the former Ruth Harris, had three children, Joan Harris Bunche, Jane Johnson Bunche, and Ralph J. Bunche Jr. Bunche died on December 9th, 1971, in New York City at age 68. And this has been our Black History moment. I'm telling you, miss a show, miss a lot. And Pop wants you to know that if anyone wants to run into him tomorrow at the Dominican Day Parade on 6th Avenue and 42nd Street, bring flowers, okay? Bring money. You can bring cash. But more than anything, bring your love and give Pop mwah, mwah, much love, much, much love, okay? Be on your most ratchet behavior this weekend. He said if anybody wants to run into him, you take that as it comes, darling. Run into him. for his birthday. I love you too, but nothing but love for you, baby. So yeah, we, you know, there's so much history that we should know, you know, like just know. If somebody says, who's Dr. Bunch? Oh, Nobel Peace Prize winning Dr. Bunch. We should just know these things, you know, like, but they don't teach us and we have to educate ourselves. And so here we do the best we can so that we can expand, so that we can expand. So now, other thing I wanted to do is play my most recent rapid fire. Let's see who we got today.
How it works is that I'll say a word and you say the first thing that comes to mind. No, I'll do five words. I'll do five words and then Javon will do five words. But don't be scared. We got you.
Okay. I am being nervous.
Just whatever. There's no wrong answer. So
no, there are no wrong answers. And it's just to give people a peek behind the veil, like what's going on in your head a little bit.
Okay.
Love.
Jesus.
Music. Black people.
Power.
Community.
Family.
God.
Everything.
Thank you. Javon, you're up next.
See, that was easy, right?
That was easy. That was easy.
Children. Discotheque.
Favorite spot.
Fantasy.
Island.
Club.
Dancer.
Voting.
Must.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hi, this is Ann Nesby, and you're in the basement with Javon and Teray. That is wonderful. And I just love you. I love you all for your platform. I love you for your heart. And all those listening, I just want to tell you thank you for how you've supported us and you kept us in mind over the years. And God bless you. And stay whole, be well, and trust God.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
I love you all so much.
Please stay safe.
All right. Yep.
Yes, Miss Ann. You know what? As I was going through that video to see, you know, how we, what I wanted to throw on there, she was dropping so many jewels that day. So definitely, if you have an opportunity to look back at that show when Ann Nesby was on, I'm going to be editing it down by the end of today as more so, and put it up there. Also, if you look at our YouTube page, I have singled it out so that the rapid fire pieces are easy to find in alphabetical order by first name. And the videos that I've been able to so far edit down to just the interviews, those also are under just interview alphabetically. See how simple that is? And yeah, is what over, sweetheart? I don't know what you're talking about, but it's not over. Therese is not here, I'll say that. But I'll say that she's not here on the show. She's here, but she's not here on the show. She will be back hopefully next week. And then Therese can tell y'all for herself where she been. What you doing? Where you at? You got plans. Don't say that. Now, speaking of music. No, no, the show is not over, honey. I was just playing a little rapid fire. So speaking of music, there's two songs that I would like for you to listen to and let me know what you think. So this is like, for me, a make it or break it type thing. So what you doing and where you at? You got plans. Don't say that. There you go. All right. So first song is by actually Tito Jackson. He's got a new joint out and I'm going to play it right here. And you let me know if this is a make it or break it.
Change your direction. Make a new connection to everyone. Let's lead the way.
Right today.
Everyone gets love and affection. Cause I don't understand.
You know what? I agree with you 100%, Pop. I agree with you 100%. It's like he needs a rap bridge. I agree with that 100%. But otherwise, it's a nice mellow groove. What do you all think about a particular song? That's Tito Jackson, formerly of the Jackson 5, brother to Michael and Janet. Reminds me of NPG. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that harmonica is saying something. Yep, definitely, definitely, definitely. I want to play another song. If I could find it. If I could find it. Don't worry, I ain't singing today. Somebody commented, and I saw David Sosa, how you doing, love, with his beautiful voice. I got to send him that track because I had, yeah, I got to send you a track, David. Remember the song we were talking, I was talking to you about before, that I sent you before. I actually played it with the video, and somebody was like the music. The lyrics are nice, but Javon, that was very brave of you to put it out there publicly because you can't sing, and I get that. That's why I'm sending it to David, so David can, because you know what? Nona Hendricks once said, when someone was saying how great her music was, she's like, Patti LaBelle is singing on it. She said, I could have wrote A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and Patti would have made it sound like, you know, although, you know what, Nona is the dopest of the dope songwriters, I'm just saying, but she did have Patti singing it, and yeah, if you, and also, you know, I've written songs and let people hear them, and they sound terrible. And then when Cheryl sang it, same people hear the same song. They'd be like, oh, my God, that song is so dope. Like, you see, always hating on a player's voice. I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, here is a young lady. New power generation. Yes, I get that. You know what? Maybe I will make a rap and stick it in the middle and send it to Tito and say, this is what you need, bruh. Or Queen Latifah could do it. She probably would make more money and get a lot more attention than if I did it. That's true. This is true. Yes, she did the alphabet song on Sesame Street, and it was dope. Well, David would definitely embody the track. You bring a little something else to the track. Yeah, something else, all right. It's something else. So here is a remake. And just so y'all know, so I want y'all to keep your fingers crossed on this one. First of all, this song is a remake by not only one of my favorite singers, and this is one of my favorite songs, but the original is by one of my favorite people who I've been talking to get her on this show and to get her back on the show. She was on the podcast times previously, and she just hasn't been on this live stream situation. So, just think Evelyn Champagne King. She and I have been going back and forth. So we trying to get her, get a time when she can come back on the show. Yeah, just a little cray cray. But yeah, so keep your fingers crossed. We're working on that. And here is Sierra with Love Come Down. I hope I'm pronouncing the young lady's name correctly. Yeah, so make it or break it. Let me know what y'all think. I'm loving that beat, though. Love. Yeah, I like the beat. And you know what? The auto-tune, the obvious auto-tune, without it, you know, you know what, sometimes I feel like, and I don't think it would be, honestly, I don't think it'd be too difficult to get this young lady on the show. But my thing, and this is where I have to work on this, you know, I would want to have her explain the auto-tune. Like, why? Is it that you can't, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just seems like this is a song I would definitely play at a party. You know, it's danceable. Let's put it like that. The beat is fat. But I could like... You know, I don't know if she's got publishing on this, because she was like actually like 15 when this song came out, 14 or 15 when she sang this song. She didn't write it. Really, Pop, is that bad? But he's too cute. Yo, Pop, you got me losing it here. Yo. Who wrote Love Come Down originally? You know what? I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but whoever it was a brother. I love the story. She said that she was, her dad, her father, used to work at a recording studio. He would do, yeah, exactly, with that voice. Can you imagine? He worked at a recording studio like as maintenance, and one day she had to go in for him, and she was in the bathroom mopping and whatever, and she started just singing A Change Is Gonna Come. And they heard her, whoever the producers who owned the studio or whatever, they heard her. And they was like, well, who is that? And they went and they saw this little girl. Thank you. And they had her sing it one shot, and she sang it. I mean, she tells the story better because, you know, it's her story. But and let me just tell you another thing. You know, in terms of getting our listenership up, the old Blog Talk Radio recordings, look back at some of those shows. If you drive in or something like that, subscribe to that and listen to some of the old shows. That Evelyn Champagne King interview was freaking amazing, okay? I'm going to tell you like this. We laughed because she's funny. And she has a very bubbly personality. And as a matter of fact, that's one of her nicknames, Bubbles. I'm telling it. And we laughed. We cried on the show. She sang A Change Is Gonna Come, and you know that voice. We had a great time. We had a great time. So if you have an opportunity, listen back to some of the older shows. When you're doing dishes or, you know, cleaning the house, listen to some of the old shows on Blog Talk Radio or your other podcasting. Because remember, we want to get that up to 50,000. We're at 49,000 all-time listens on the podcast. It would be so groovy to be able to say that you all listened 50,000 times. It'd be so cool. It's a nice round number. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me see. I think what I want to do now is play a little music. Can we have a music moment? Is that good, Pop? Anybody cleaning up today? Need a little something upbeat?
Feel like.
Come on.
Feel like.
Happy. Hi, this is Karen White, and you're in the basement with Devon and Tourette.
Yeah, Tell me what you wanna do. Don't do nothing stupid. What is happening in front of you? All it is love from the booth. Let's go. When the DJ plays this, we gon' get like all the fire. Hey, Mr. DJ, take that track and won't you turn it? I'ma dance all night and I don't care who touched that fire. I just sing it as fire and I'ma show you how to burn it. That's how I burn it up. Ain't no sitting down, you gotta keep it up. I need your music, got the whole room jumping on. It's this motion for me, the second to drop. You gotta have it, I'm gonna beat it so hot, hot. So tell me what you wanna do. Don't do nothing stupid. What's happening in front of you? All it is love on the road. Here we go. When the DJ play this, we gon' get like all the fire. Hey, Mr. DJ, get that track and won't you turn it up? I'ma dance all night and I don't care who touched that fire. Just sing it as fire and I'ma show you how to burn it up. When the DJ play this, we gon' get like all the fire. Hey, Mr. DJ, get that track and won't you turn it up? I'ma dance all night and I don't care who touched that fire. Just sing it as fire and I'ma show you how to burn it up.
What y'all know about this? We'll be right back. My pastor, the elder.
What up, Jay Strong?
Kevin E. Taylor.
Look, that's fresh Saturday morning sweat. I only came out from outside for you.
I got five miles
in this morning.
Look, you got the house t-shirt on, ready for the house music or what? I'm just saying. Kevin E. Taylor in the hands. Come in his
house.
Yes. So Therese took today off, and so
self-care.
You know, that's wellness. So you know what? Let's talk a little bit about the wellness.
Okay.
How's
so,
that going? What's going on with that?
So the brilliant Crystal Atmosphere, who many people in the New Jersey area know, is an amazing singer. But when the pandemic kicked in, she was really missing and hearing from people that they were yearning for connectedness. And so one day, on a Monday morning, she opened up her camera, opened up her playlist, and opened up her heart and started to really engage people with sipping and saying something warm in the morning. And so that was a Monday ritual that we all just got really used to. And then there was some meditation got added by her partner, Jatam Kahira. And then, so we had Monday and Wednesday, and then later on somebody came in, Etta Francois Smith came in to do self-care and sexing with her juicing, and then Latrice Greer out of Florida starts, you know, make some time on Tuesday, Tuesday afternoons to do better meal options, and they put me in because Crystal and I are friends. I'm a pastor, family, and I live in the wellness. They're downstairs, I'm upstairs. And so I started doing Thoughtful Thursdays. It just became this opportunity to engage and engage and engage. And it became, and I really want you to have Crystal on because y'all just have such great energy. But the wellness saved my life. You know, I don't know how I would have made it through the pandemic, because I think often when there are people who do stuff in front of people assume that we're extroverted. I'm an introvert called to an extroverted assignment.
I feel you on that.
I don't know what would have happened if I would have been allowed to languish in my insideness, you know, without, you know, Crystal saying, I need you, and pulling me back into, you know, back in, Grandma Minim used to say, back into creation. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, and then, you know, what started out as a Saturday morning exercise in literal manifestation of wellnessing, we started to walk in Branch Brook Park on Saturday mornings. And, you know, a good visit to my doctor showed that, you know, COVID had taken everything up, weight, blood pressure. I've never had a blood pressure issue. Sugar, glucose. I was like, wait, no. And so what was happening every Saturday now for me became every day.
Mm.
Every morning at 6:30, I'm back in the house by 8, having pulled off like 4.5 miles. Shower,
wow.
get dressed and get to work.
So when you started walking, and congratulations, that's amazing. When you started walking, how far were you walking? I know you didn't start with 4 miles.
So when we started walking, our first intention was to just to get around the walking path on a Saturday morning. Which is 2.25 miles. So, you know, we wanted to do it, and we were doing it, and no matter what, we wanted to be consistent about it. You know what I mean? It's like, get up, get to it. And I think what happened for me personally is something happened, and somebody who was assigned to go live couldn't, you know what I mean? Just because it was COVID and stuff was happening. And so I, at the time, said, well, I'm out here, people have the expectation of us showing up at the time. I have the time available. I wasn't trying to take over what they were doing, i.e. not trying to make smoothies, not trying to cook, you know? So I was like, I'm out here walking. Let's just empower while we walk. And so I got in a Tuesday spot, or I got in, you know, got up early on a Thursday and did Thursday morning because I was out walking. And so Saturday became Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And then, you know, then it was, oh, I feel great. I go home. I'm just going home to watch something that's already on YouTube, Netflix, Hulu. So, you know what I mean? And I had to get out of that. Like, I needed to rewatch something. Like, you know, Scandal has pulled me back in 2 or 3 times over
yes.
the next pandemic. You know what I'm saying? I'm
yes.
like, you know it's going to happen. Why
yes.
watch it? So shifting the priority of, even if I go back in and write and watch something, I should be my number one priority. So let's just do it again. So if you were in the park, it's kind of got points where you can go, around, and then there's a midway point, and there's another point, and another point we can cross over instead of going. And so it was around once, and then back around a half time, around once, and then back around two-thirds, around once, back around three-fourths. Then this morning, we did it twice, which is 4.5 miles, and then we just did some cardio in the parking lot. So
wow.
We got in 5 miles this morning.
So what have the benefits been to you?
So according to my doctor,
your spirit, everything.
So first and foremost, for my spirit, what the wellness has done is just really lifted me, you know. Again, grabbing that introvert and pulling me outside and reminding me how much I love to walk, reminding me how much clear air can do for your head, you know, allowing me to remember that even though I'm introverted, I'm very much a people person. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, when you
mm-hmm.
walk around me and Crystal Atmosphere and Tracy Africa, our, you know, my daughter Freddie, our friend Tanya, and we would just be going around. And then, you know, it becomes a good morning to people. Good morning, because you see them every day. And then me, I'm a mama, so I need to know people's name if I've seen them too many times and speak to them every day. You know what I mean? Baby, what's your name? What's your name? You know what I mean? And so it's been that beautiful social engagement, which I think is the main thing that so many of us are missing, you know. And then getting to the doctor, getting, you know, when I got deliberate and determined about it every day, and in a matter of a month and a half, you know, having all of my numbers be down, you know, bad cholesterol, blood pressure, you know, and all the numbers. But then, just the other day, I think at my heaviest, I was trying to stay off 300. I was like, I can't. I mean, I'm 6'2". Like, you know, people like, I could never tell. I was like, but I, you know, the scale kept. I was like, I'm just trying to stave it off. And then it's like to watch it move back through the 290s, through the 280s, through the 270s. And I got on the scale yesterday and it said 269. I was like,
God.
Okay. I see what you're doing there, summer of 2021. I see it.
Yes. So, and you look fabulous.
I feel it, Jay Strong. I feel it.
Yeah.
I put on a shirt the other day that I kept because I like the pattern, but when I bought it, it was literally too small. I was going to give it to Pastor Jerry to just cut up and put in another something, you know, as a lining of a messenger bag she was going to make. I said, let's try this shirt on again because I like the pattern. And so I put it in the stick to go bag. And that large shirt buttoned up, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. That's something.
Don't give up. Keep going.
That's
don't give
amazing.
Up, keep going.
Keep going. Keep going, and that therein lies the message. Yes, I have my water, and you know, with a bottle. Actually, not that I'm advertising for anybody, but I find that these bottles that actually this one has.
Oh, the one that tells you should be
Get started. You know, remember, and then for each hour, which I'm behind, but I've been able to fill this up twice. You know, and I'm just starting exactly. To try to get myself together, you know, because one thing I don't want is to be sick without trying not to be sick, because we have a choice, you know, like, and you know, I reside with a yoga diva. So how could I sit here and allow myself to go to waste and watch her stay fit and trim?
Thank you, King Ulysses. I see that message. I feel great. I thank you. You can see the look great, but I feel great.
Yes.
And, you know, and one of the things, and you know, so part of what happened in the pandemic is I discovered this water that was both alkaline water and had electrolytes in it. So that's good for somebody who sweats like I do. But then the spot I used to go to, because at the Dollar Tree, the guy was like, oh, yeah, I used to drink that all the time. But then I found this spot in Belleville, where you can get the 5 gallons, and it's alkaline water. And I was like, wait, what? And so I still have some of these that I keep in the refrigerator so that I can keep them cool after a walk. But, you know, my dispenser, you know, this dispenser, alkaline water. So it's all of that. It's slowing down. It's having friends who care about you and come and get you outside of your stuff. It's being mindful of so each of us in the wellness now has our own model. Crystal had, you know, so the overarching is wellness works, right? Etta has self-care is sexy. Latrice has make some time, you know, but time spelled like the seasoning. Mine is support is a verb, and the overall, you know, and then on Saturdays we do our wellness hashtag wellness walk. So it's just the thing of just kind of all of that noise, that you're going to have the ping of the noises, you know, that disturb your peace, and you can create peace with them as well. So ping, make sure you walk, ping, make sure you have some water, ping, you know, somebody says something about some stuff they put in their water that makes it not so mad, you know, but I'm like, Crystal Light is the same thing, you know, I drink two, you know, three or four of these a day, and one of them is full of Crystal Light, so that it feeds that Jones of sweet, but it's sugar free, so it doesn't make anything peak, and all the bells and whistles that needed some sort of reward for all of this, and some sort of sweet, got it, and it didn't cost me a calorie.
Right. So it sounds like you've also changed the way you're eating.
So here's what's crazy, Jay Strong. How about this? When of all of the things that the doctor said that shook me. She told me that I was diabetic, and I was like, I'm not that person. I'm not, you know, sneaky cakes and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's like, well, this is unusual. So tell me what's going on in your diet. And I probably could eat 10 pieces of fruit in a day. I'll do like a half a chicken and grab two apples, you know, and a bottle of water, da, da, da. And then she's like, oh, no. You do. She says, so what has happened for you over the years is that all of that natural raw sugar has just, you know, become pure sugar in your system. Mm. And it's not having the healthy effect that you think it is. You know, we think, oh, instead of eating chips, grab a bowl of grapes. Instead of, you know, going to eat something that you know is not right, have an apple. Yeah, but if that's, you know, no carbs and there were meals that was almost fruitarian, you know, just kind of like, I'll do an apple, a banana, some grapes, thinking I'll get some sort of balance. And so what ended up happening is Dr. Eileen took me, you know, we went on a fruit fast. And she's like, let's see if this is it. So I'm waiting to go back to her next week. But I know that my glucose and all of that went down when I did.
When you So it was a matter of you stopping the sugar.
It was
the
a matter
fruit.
Of me stopping the fruit.
Wow, isn't that something?
Right, because here I am thinking I was eating well, but I might not have been eating balanced, you know, especially right. In hot weather. I could, all the weight on me, I owned it, I earned it, I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the summer, when it gets really hot, I know that there are times I don't want to turn the stove on, I don't feel like eating anything hot. So I could see myself with a bowl full of fruit and be like, now I'll do a grapefruit, now I'll do a banana. And so I probably had whole fruit days. She's like, yeah, that's not going to work in your system. You need some protein in there. There's such things as good carbs. So the learning to eat well is learning to eat better with learning to eat balanced.
Mm. Yeah. I think the best diet is a balanced diet. And it's hard to get that balance because we all have our favorites. And then in the back of our minds, those messages of fruit is good, this is bad, and this is
right.
But too much of anything.
Too much of anything is bad, including fresh fruit. Yeah.
Yes. So,
I'm a witness to that.
Amen. So there that goes, you know? Amazing.
Oh, you know, it's finding the balance. It's getting that bag of spring mixed of salad, grabbing a whole big handful of. You got a salad this big, put a little cheese on it, put some nuts or something in it, put your favorite salad dressing on it, but don't swim in it. And then there you go. You get the crunch and the sweet and the healthy and the green and the raw and the, you know, cut up some, get a chicken breast, which a lot of times when people end up, you know, getting those rotisserie chickens, just cut a piece of the breast off and cut that up and put it in the salad. And now you happy and satisfied.
Mm, exactly. So you said something, you kind of brushed over it really quickly. You said something about writing. Are you writing again?
No, I'm working on, and this is really funny. The universe got jokes because I was working on a book called Selfish. Get Full of Yourself Without Guilt. And it's unpacking the idea that many of us who are the, you know, the doers, the responsible ones, that person in our family, in our community, on our job, who's always pouring out to other people, often find it uncomfortable to take care of ourselves, self-care, self-worth. We're almost kind of giving out because of something longing in ourselves. And then when we start to stand up in that truth that we deserve better, I desire what I deserve and I deserve what I desire, and doing the work to take better care of us, people can almost kind of assume us out of the way, like, yeah, I know, but come get me. Oh, yeah, I know, but you got the money. Yeah, I know. And so I'm unpacking self-worth, self-image, self-sabotage, self-discovery, self-sufficiency, all of this from the perspective of people trying to tell you to not, people softly telling you not to take care of you is some self-ish. It's the ish stuff of people trying to get you to put you further down the list so that they can be your priority. You know what I mean?
Mm.
People who spend your money, people who accommodate for your time, people who assume that you were coming to get them, people who, you know, even in really healthy, good relationships, sometimes you have to establish new boundaries and new parameters for people, you know, because your friend will come in your house and go through your closet on your way to the club, and it's like, wait. You didn't come to the house dressed. You just assumed you were going to my closet. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Check in with you again and get full of the idea that what's, you know, that everything in your priority list needs you at the top of the list. But if they want your A game, you got to bring your slay game.
Did y'all hear that? The slay game. You know, y'all need that. Y'all,
you know,
I need that.
You up and taking care of you first. Walking out the door and going out. I'm ready to go.
I'm sorry, but I have to hashtag that. That's kind of hot.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, bring the slate. But you know what? You've always been a master of the language.
You know how I do. Let me do it real quick if you're going to do that. I got to be. It's got to be like self-love. And, yeah. I'm trying to do an acronym. Self-love. What's the A for? I'll figure it out before we finish.
Yes. That would be fun.
I'll figure it out.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, the play game. Simply living as you. Ah.
Ooh, dang. You know what? You are just like the master of the linguistics.
Simply living as you. Slay. They don't like it. Let them go. I ain't doing too much. I'm simply living as you. And it's funny.
And that's your slay game.
When you say to somebody else, it's simply living as you, slay. And when you say it about yourself, you say, I'm simply living as me. It's a slam.
Slam. Hello. What? Can I tell y'all that this man with the English language just beats it all up and just, I mean, give him a challenge. Why don't you? You know.
Yeah, the Lord, I parked you in the right spot. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Your love of words. Let's talk about that.
So, I have often started speeches at colleges, you know, at corporations, any place I've been asked to speak. I've often started with, I was born a fat black athletic gay nerd in the project of Southwest DC. And somebody even asked me once, they were like, even after, you know, you look up there and it's plaques and stuff. They're like, why do you still say that? I said, because otherwise, dress well and speaking well, people assume my story this way. So I got to take you this way and see you, show you how we got here. And, you know, the beauty of that little nerd boy who found a dictionary in the trash one day, in the how that little Merriam-Webster dictionary got in the trash in the project, I still don't know. But, and using words like recalcitrant and obsequious at 10, and I remember saying, my mother said one time when I told my brother they were being so recalcitrant, she said, I don't know what that means, but I don't like it. You know, and she tried to, I know what she was doing. She's like, come back down. I get what you're doing, young man.
Uh-huh.
Don't talk to your brothers over the head. And so, hey, Queen Wendy. And so it became just this dance of, you know, discovering how important words were. I know how why the caged bird sings and Othello, and just realizing that words put together made books, and books change lives. And so that was already who I was, and words had that big, lofty kind of importance. And then along came Natalie Cole, you know?
Yes.
And she showed up on a TV show, and Merv Griffin asked her when she's Mike Douglas, who used to host a show out of Philly. Mike Douglas asked her when she started singing, and she said, I started singing my junior year of college. And I was like, wait a minute, black people can't quit. What is college? How do black people go there? I knew what I heard. I heard it on a TV show or something, but it wasn't any of us. And so there was that. And then he asked her about her new project after he asked her about her father. She said, my new album is called Inseparable. I was like, what? So she's already sung This Will Be Sounding Like Church. Then she talked about going to college. And then she uses a word that literally starts to crack the crevices of my skull. It's like, what? Like that emoji. It's like, you know, it's like that gif. And it's like, ah. I was like, what did she say? Inseparable. You know, if you're old enough to have gone to the old school of education, in order to incorporate a new word into your vocabulary, you had to spell it, define it, and use it in a sentence. So here's the album cover telling me it's Inseparable. Spell it, you know, define it. So I pull out my dictionary, you know, two people that they bound together in an eternal bond, never separated. Oh my God. Okay. But how do you use it in a sentence? Dun, 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 bum, bum, inseparable. And my skull exploded.
Yeah.
We're like a flower to a tree, like words to a melody of love. There's no way we could break up. No words that could make us blow our thing. Because we're just boom, 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 inseparable. So between inseparable and rectified, which is This Will Be, I'm so glad that he found me in time. I'm so glad that he rectified my mind. I was like, what does that mean? By the time she went off television, I was in love with Natalie Cole who gave me permission to be okay being in love with words. I didn't have to be in love with old books. I didn't have to, you know, go around to my friends and say, I read Shakespeare. I read Maya Angelou. I have all the volumes of James Baldwin's work. You know what I mean? Because that's what I, that's the way I read all, I would sit around and read dictionaries and read, or read the Britannic Encyclopedia. That's how I thought I lived in that skin before Natalie J. Strong. And then it could show up in 3-minute songs. Then it can show up in a word placed in a sentence just the right way to make you go, oh. And so when Stevie said, I'll be loving you until the day becomes the night and night the day, until the seeds and trees just up and fly away, until the day, someday, someday, this fall. I was like, oh my God, this song is full of simile. Oh my God, it's full of simile, because as is the opening statement for simile. And then now they release, you know, then there's Joey with this no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, two fortunes of sin. I was like, that's metaphor. Oh my God. So I was an 11-year-old nerd who could explain that nerddom now to people in song.
Yes, yes.
It's a metaphor. It's like now Nicole saying there's no pot of gold. See how she's saying it's like that. It's kind of like that. She says it has. It's similar to this. That's simile. And they were like, oh.
Wow.
That's what, you know, all those words were like finding ways to make hyperbole or nomenclature. You know, these words that were big in the classroom, just make them, you know, hood approved. How do you get that so that your friends understand it? Because it didn't feel like it was good to have this fun relationship with words. Friends didn't get it, you know?
Exactly.
And so it was about taking my fifth grade lesson and teaching it to my third and first grade brothers. It's like, I'm going to make sure they get it, because we all smart, and I don't have to feel crazy about being smart by myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think you kind of made it cool to be a nerd, but...
I mean, I think, I hope what I did, you know, just, you know, I thought about the nerd, and people don't understand, in the hood, I thought so much more about being a nerd or being fat than I did about being gay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, the fat was, you know, then, and it was, you know, and then the nerd was, you know, people want to meet you outside when you mess up the curve.
Exactly. You spoke about a very, very important relationship, or what started out as fandom and became a relationship. Oh, let me help you out. There you go.
Oh, bam! Well, she is literally right here beside me while I write.
Let me help
you. She's here, my mama's here, Bishop. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then over there's a picture of my mama and Natalie together.
You know, I was ready for you. I know you.
I know you. I'm sorry. Look at me trying to produce. My bad.
I know you.
So, I mean, Jason, you know, when I talk to people about, like tomorrow, my sermon tomorrow is infinity and beyond, because it's like the idea that we, you know, we believe that we want more, we expect more, we hope more, wherever we are in our faith. Somebody just posted a quote that I said years ago, you know, God's not going to give you a lot if you are miserable with a little, you know?
Mm.
And I'm just trying to get us black folks, us LGBT folk who have been broken and bruised and talk about tattered and torn, to believe that there's a reason you're here. And what is the thing that you called to do? What is the thing you want to do? And what would you do if you weren't afraid of other people's response to you, right? And so that little boy who saw Natalie Cole that day, after that, you know, there were times when I thought, I think I realized early on, you know, though there was nobody on night, afternoon or late night TV that looked like me, I used to sit on the couch when my brothers would come in and say, Kevin, you can't come outside today, because my asthma, my allergies were so bad that in DC's humidity on the wrong day, I could go outside and sneeze within for weeks, because it would induce that level of asthma attack. And so I would be in the house interviewing on my mama's couch, you know, be like, welcome to the show, everybody, because I just love the idea of being able to say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Natalie Cole. She would sit down, because I knew so much about her, I could talk to her. So just as I learned about people, I would interview them because I knew what the answers were. And so I even had a time, I don't know if I ever told you this, I had a time where I had a dream about Natalie Cole. I had a dream about, at about 12 or 13, that she, this is funny, that she had a child early on, like in college or something, out of wedlock. And Nat King Cole gave that child to his number one fan to raise it, because Natalie Cole. And now that she was well and on her own, she came to get that child, and that child was me.
Wow.
And I remember not seeing her face, but I was a little boy just wrapped around her waist, and I remember a floral skirt she had on was the same one she had on in this picture in the Ebony magazine at the Apollo. Then I got up, almost kind of laughing, because I'm like, you know, I didn't want to, like, not my mama to not be my mama, because she was my mama. You know what I mean? I loved it. But I said, Mama, I got your number book, and I worked out Natalie Cole's name, and the number is 707. She's like, I said, I dreamt about it. She said, you probably dream about that half of every day. And that night, when the number came out, it was 707. My mom was like, ooh, baby.
Wow, look at that.
Hey, King Walt, my mom was like, baby, next time you dream about her, you should let me know. And I was like, I'm just telling you, I don't do it all the time. And so all of that was all of that. That's how deeply ensconced she is in my life.
Yeah, but you know what you did tell me?
What?
What did you have them calling you in school?
Oh. So for like 6 weeks, I think that's another one, the teacher would be like, Kevin, if you know when she did the call on me, Kevin Taylor, Kevin Edward Taylor. You know, if you get your whole name, it's supposed to shake you.
The whole government.
No, Kevin Edward Taylor, Joey, yes, ma'am.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like, your nickname is Chuck. No, it ain't. It's Joey.
I'm just
so, and again, it's because that song blew my mind. So you can't even imagine the picture you just showed. Show people the picture again. So imagine, fast forward to the 29-year-old? 28. I was 28 when I did that interview. Who gets to be at BET, Black Entertainment Television, and my boss says, you're going to do this interview with Natalie Cole. And I was like, wait, what? I put on, look at that. You don't get what I got on gold hoops. Those are pair of earrings. That probably were my mama's attached to the clip of the collar. That was my brother's bell sleeve shirt. I got on a pair of, nice tote pants that my brother gave me the belt, which has like a cheetah print, I think, in the middle. And then Natalie walked in that little cute outfit, and that top was leather. And then she's like, look at you. Look at how cute both of us in hoops. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, and this is the time. So imagine this face, everybody. This is the woman who said to me when she said, oh, my God, you look beautiful. She said, so who's doing the interview? And I said, me. And I think she thought that BET was just letting her number one fan, who now worked there, just come and sit in the interview. And when I said me, she said, oh, hell no. And I was like, oh, no, there it is. Finally, the little boy, the young man, the tall man, the gay man, the black man who thought he was too much. And nobody just wanted to say it to my face. Finally, somebody said, nope. Not good enough. And I thought, oh, and she saw it fall on my face. She's like, no, baby. She said, no, Kevin, no, that's not what I'm saying. Like, you could tell, she saw the rejection. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know, you have forgotten more about my career than I'll ever remember. I was like, it's okay, Natalie. I'll walk you through your career. She's like, did y'all hear what he said talking to her glam squad? Did y'all hear what he just said? He's going to walk me through my career. What she didn't know is in the other room, because she came makeup ready, so they were just over there and they needed to touch her up. In the other room, laid out on this circular table at the Sheraton Peninsula, was just a microcosm of my Natalie Cole collection. So while we were talking, they were going through stuff. Ooh, girl. You know what I mean? This is 93, and I got jets from 1975. You know, and they were like, oh, girl, you got... So every time that, like, we would have to take a break, they would hold up something and say something crazy. Oh, look at this apple! Girl, you know what I mean? And she was like, oh, shut up. Y'all just shut up. So she walked over to the table and tried to steal my Jet magazine. And I said, look, I love you, Natalie Cole, but I don't want to have to hurt you up in this place. Let's not do that. And so it was just a funny thing. She was going through stuff because, I mean, literally I had like stacks of just, you know, promo pictures. And she's like, did you get every picture that they ever want? I said, I probably got every single picture from every promotional opportunity that you did. And I had an account at Posner Cosmetics, so every time a new product came out, I got... And so she was just kind of like, this doesn't make any sense. And the next time I saw her, I was... Here comes name dropping, so people talk about me, going to talk about me. I was Nancy Wilson's assistant for a weekend for the Levine School of Music gala she was doing for Bob Johnson. And her assistant, Ed Roebuck, who I honor to this day, just a good, great man, couldn't come from California to D.C. to join them. So they called me literally, like, God, it felt like it was, like, Friday, like, right before work was over, thinking you going out with your friends, and they're like, nope, Nancy Wilson's here for the weekend, and we need you to be with her because you do diva. So send her the car to your house so you can go to the airport to get her to take her to the Mayflower. And I got to spend the weekend with Nancy Wilson, and Saturday night, Mr. Johnson had, no, that was Friday night. Friday, that night, Mr. Johnson had a reception at his home for Ms. Wilson, and Natalie was in town with her then husband who was getting an award from the International Association of African American Musicians. Mm. And so I'm standing here, Ms. Wilson is here, and somebody covers my eyes, I turn around, and it's Natalie Coleman, and I'm like, oh my God, she's like, I didn't know you'd be here. I'm like, how did you recognize me from my mind? And so she hugs and kisses me. And then while still holding on to me, she reaches over and to hug again Nancy Wilson. She's like, I'm on to her, but she didn't let me go. So I'm caught between them. I'm like, I'm the meat on the Nancy Wilson.
That is an amazing sandwich right there.
How is this happening? And that is the night that I saw Natalie when she told me, signed a book deal, and she was going to need me. And that picture that's in that book was the picture they took that night at the party when she told me she needed me for a book is the picture that she put in the book.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. Now, since we're talking about your diva friends and experiences, let's talk about the night you were at a concert and screamed out something, and there was a woman on stage who we all love with the legs, and she heard you over everybody.
Okay.
Because you're not passing.
This was funny. When you say screamed out on stage, I've got, unfortunately, so many examples of me screaming out. I was like, which one is this? Good? Okay, I'll tell you another one after this. So I got the opportunity to, I was doing a show called Lyrically Speaking for BET. So Natalie, this interview with Natalie was for a show I got to create called Lyrically Speaking. After Natalie came, Lisa Vandross, I was prepared to get then Anita Baker, then Lena Horne. Then Patti LaBelle, then Stevie Wonder, then Patti LaBelle. And then we got me and myself and Brenna Dickerson, Brenna Dickerson Holtzclaw, who is my executive producer. We flew to Bremen, Germany to see Tina Turner in concert. And it's funny, I said to people, I never heard of Bremen, and I've been in Europe before. You know, you've heard of Munich, and you've heard Frankfurt, a couple of other places in Germany, but I never heard of Bremen. So I was like, it seems like a small town, and we went across the street from our hotel to the mall, and not that many people were there. And I was like, hey, I thought Tina Turner was the bomb in Europe. I mean, she might not be as big in America, but I thought in Europe she was everything. And so we went back and took whatever. I think I probably bought an outfit or something to wear to the concert. And then we get in the car to go to the show, which is at a football stadium. So everybody I didn't see in town was at the, I must have been prepared for Tina Turner Day because everybody was there, right? You know what I mean? And yeah. Anybody that you got to not just be in cities, but you got to live near an RFK Stadium in D.C. or a Yankee Stadium in New York. You got to live near the stadium to know what it's like to see that many people approaching a place at one time. You got to live near MetLife, you know what I mean? Because when you go there, it's one thing. But to just to see it happening, you're either in it or driving by it, you know what I mean? And so we see all these people going to the drove, and then they take us backstage to meet her. And I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? And I remember how cool it was that Kenny Moore, the gentleman who was on piano for her, who was fantastic because myself and Brenna were there for BET. And then Lynn Norman was there doing a cover story for Ebony. So Ebony and BET were there. So he felt like, he's like, oh my God, Ebony and BET? Not Sabatina, you man. You know what I mean? He was just like, we got to get it in tonight. You know what I mean? He was just, and so, then she came at me like this, and I was like, hello, darling. I was like, what do you do with hands like that? And then what she did, you grab her hands like that, and then she pulls you to, hello, darling. Enjoy yourself tonight. Have fun, And she was doing her own makeup, and they took us to this, it's an open stadium show, right? So it's a, what do they call it? Festival style. So the football field is covered with people, and then some people are up here, too. It's just packed. And then she says, we're going to do something for you now in the middle of the show. that we rather do on things. We're going to sit down and things. I was like, okay, this is cool. And she does Undercover Agent for the Blues, Steamy Windows, I Can't Stand the Rain, and Help. Just kind of real stripped down, unplugged, and it was good, bluesy, soulful thing. But what I didn't expect was for how insanely good Help from the Beatles was when I was younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody. But people, when I was younger, so much younger than today. That's how the song goes. It's very upbeat. And Tina and Kenny Moore on piano. When I was younger. And I was like, what is happening? She took this thing church. Help me if you can. And then she does this thing at the end where, you know, one of them church runs with. That's something high. You know, and he's like, it's just, that's my thing. I know, just losing my mind. And then, you know, that that evening, we flew to, the next morning, we flew early. That's why I'm so short. So these short flights, we flew from Germany to Denmark, you know, to Copenhagen. It was probably like New York to D.C. It was probably. So we got dressed and, you know, she came into the room to do our interview. And I remember I was there early and we did all the setup. And then I didn't like what I had on. I was like, I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to run and put my Tina Turner shirt on from last night. I ran up and I promise you, I clocked it. I was like up and back in 51 seconds. I threw the shirt off while I was running things, shirt, put her shirt on, threw the, my little covering on as I ran back downstairs. When I got back down, she was already there. And then she said, hello, darling. I said, how are you, Miss Tina? She said, did you enjoy yourself last night? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I know. I heard you. And I was like, I'm sorry. There were 70,000 people in a stadium. There's no way you heard me. I was like, and then she said, well, I was thinking help. You said, sing that song, bitch. What's up, Miss Turner? I'm so sorry. She said, no. You reminded me of Nutbush. I like it. I hear your voice the whole time. I said, I'm so sorry. How was that possible? Well, where they put me and Berna and Lynn was the audio shell, where the audio team was. And so the shell apparently acted as an echo chamber.
Wow.
So every time I screamed, she heard me extra loud.
Amazing.
And Tina Turner changed my life. Because as a fat, black, athletic, gay nerd from the project, I always felt odd. I always felt like, you know, there was always a different eye on me, both one reason or another. And at one point, I remember telling you the story. I told her she was trying to, we were talking about her song, Let's Stay Together, her remake of the Al Green song. She couldn't remember who the DJ was in America who started playing it. She's a DJ in New York. I can't remember his name right now. And you could just see in her eyes, especially that night before when Kenny Moore was so happy that black media was there to cover Tina. I could tell how important it was that she say this black man by name. And for whatever reason, it just happened to her. She couldn't remember his name. And I remember thinking, it was so quick, Jason. It was so quick. It was like, she was like, I can't remember his name. She looked at me. I can't remember his name right now. It was that fast. Da. And in that fast, God said, you know who that is, nerd. Give it to her. And I was just kind of like, oh. And I said, give it to her. And I was like, oh, don't say it. So when she came back, Frankie Kaka, yes. She said it was quite handsome. I said, he still is. You know what I mean? It was just to be able to be free enough to say that. And she went on with the story, and how it took off and all these other people being respected and basically helped her secure a record deal with Capitol Records. And then when at the time we used to do interviews on beta tape, and so we had to change tape.
Wow.
She looked at the time like you. The difference just didn't come at the question. So it shook me, right? And so she kissed me, and when she's leaving, she goes to the other room because she's got the interview to do with Lynn. And then I'm like, you know, Berna, she's like, Kevin, you do realize why she said that. I was like, no. And she said, because most other journalists would have taken this as the opportunity to say, ha, I've researched you. Here's the name. And you didn't. You gave it back to her.
Mm-hmm.
Said, that was why I said, give it to her. She's like, but most people's ego would have stepped in and said, smart. I got out of the hotel Intercontinental in downtown Copenhagen, Denmark, and ugly cried walking down the street. I don't even know if people saw me on that Sunday morning, what it must have looked like. Because I was like holding onto the wall crying so hard because now I made sense. Because Tina Turner said, you're different. I like it.
That's not beautiful.
Not some, you know what I mean? It wasn't a little pat on the head. And I remember when we started, you know, before, but I was liking that. Like, this is Tina Turner. She's been interviewed by a million people. God, you know, God kind of gave me these kind of directives on how to move in it. So to hear that voice just say, give it to her, and realize that's what it meant. When I got out there, I think I walked for like a half an hour. And there was two or three points where I had to sit down because like every ugly thing that I ever heard it said to me or about me or that ever came from me, hello somebody, coughed up. It regurgitated out. It just, I'm so, you know, Tina rectified my mind.
Well, I want to ask about one more picture right quick.
Okay.
And then we're gonna move on to something. But I have to address this.
Okay.
Do tell.
So this is Chaka Khan in the green room at BET. She had come to do video soul and this was after we had already done Diva Week. She was there for Diva Week. This time she was like 95, Jay Strong, because she spent the whole day there. Rolling Stone came to BET to interview her there. And
it could have been lunch. When the Epiphany album came
It's Epiphany. I was like, it was one of my favorite words. I was like, listen, yeah, it's the Epiphany album. She was there so long that other media came to us. She's like, I'm going to be at BET all day. Come here. So she made the white journalist from Rolling Stone, the white journalist from the Washington Post and the New York Times all came to BET. And I remember at one point, you know, she was there just in it. You know, that's what it was so great to be at BET. Because after a while, they got in it. You might be at your desk upstairs, not on the studio level. And some artists might have decided they wanted to walk through the tour. So you might turn around and, oh, my God, who is so-and-so? What are they doing at my desk? Because they just wanted to walk around. But Janet Jackson came. She wanted to meet the entire company, from cleaning lady to executive. And so Chaka was just there hanging. And at one point, we were like, oh, I'm hungry. And somebody said, oh, I'm going to Muskogee to get, you know, to get a whiting dinner. Bring me one of them. I want three pieces. How many come in? Three pieces. The green's good. Now, they're good now. I ain't going to want no mush greens. I mean, she was like that. Don't bring me no mush. It's going, they good. What else they got? Potato salad. Is steak salad good? Is it sweet good? Does it have a little, like that. Like, no, it's sweet good. Well, I want the yams, too. You get the yams. And if I don't like potato salad, it was sweet. I mean, she was that familiar. She was so familiar that when the Rolling Stone journalist came into the green room, she was in the middle of eating a lot. She's like, come on in. But don't you write nothing about my pussy smelling like fish. And I was like, what? Who was that?
Yo, thank you. Thank
it was you. So funny because we all screamed, and he was looking like, okay, it's a joke I'm missing. I know it is. But and he just went on in the room, and she closed the door like it was to her house. You know what I mean? Like, she was a hot, and you don't get to come in her room unless she invites you. But she was there all day, and she walked around and was just snapping pictures with people. And so we ended up having Augie Osborne, who was our kind of resident photographer at BET.
Wonderful.
Snapping pictures, you know.
So now.
My hair is so curly. It's so cute. And she played him. She was like, I like your hair. And I was like, it's a texturizer. It's so cool.
Pop says, yes, those were the days, Kevin, with you and Stephen Hill and my girl Penny Mack.
And Ulysses, you know this. Penny Mack is the woman who, so Penny Mack and I have a really deep relationship because Penny Mack is the person most deeply involved in my 18-day Aaliyah 9/11. Penny is, of course, the one who, you know, I created Actors Granted for BET. She was the one, you know, I'm in Miami. Gina Smith, God rest her soul, who was with Aaliyah, asked me to change my flight arrangement so I wasn't on the flight with Aaliyah. And we did that in Miami. So it wasn't the last minute thing. We changed it in Miami. Then we go to Bahamas. And then I kind of, the second day of the shoot, third day of the shoot, got everybody onto the catamaran. There was no way for my crew to get out to the catamaran anyway. So we're like, we'll just get some passion shots and then we'll use footage from the B-roll of the video. And then we'll leave. Man crew, and I think a few other people who just happened to be on the island. We landed in Miami, and we were on a really small plane. So I just remember how uncomfortable it felt to not be able to stand all the way up. You know what I mean? Because I'm 6'2". And this woman across the way who held my hand while I was just freaking out. So we land in Miami and get on the real, you know, jet and fly to Baltimore. And then when I get to Baltimore, two of my deacons from church met me because I was preaching at Bishop Harris Donald's church in Baltimore. And we went to dinner, and then when we got back from dinner, my phone rang, and it was Penny Mack. And she was like, oh, you're okay. And I was like, yeah, like, why wouldn't I be, you know? And then she said, and she just tried not to tell me because, you know, this wasn't something you heard. I just left these people, you know. And then, so I'm going to call you back. And then Diane Blankenstein, who was the kind of independent label rep, called me, and she was like, hey, so you're okay? And I'm like, yes. And she said, what's going on? And she said, you're sure? And she said, when did you leave the island? And I said, just this afternoon. She said, so she's thinking you just left. And so she's like, I don't know, it was probably some foolishness. Then Penny called back and said, so there's news reports that, you know, the team you were just with. So she didn't have any name. The team you were just with was in a plane crash. And I was like, plane crash. And my phone rang, and it was my mother. But it wasn't my mother. So somebody, you know, my mother's partner, John, said, what, you know, don't think about your mother. I was like, why would John call me for my mother? And my mother said, David, that girl you were just with, they did a plane crash. And I was like, nope, impossible, because I was just with them. This footage in my bag that I had to keep separate so I could, is Aaliyah, and, you know, and then, you know, that depression thing, that, oh, my God, I don't know what's happening thing kicked in and kind of, I laid down to take a nap because it was so overwhelming. And one of the teachers tapped me and woke me up. And I spent a lot of day in the heart. Then I preached in Baltimore the next day, in case of emergency break glass, I still remember. And then as I was walking to the car, Penny called me again. And this time she read the list because people, you know, people forget that in these momentous moments, this momentous tragedy, they always think, Aaliyah, you know, that's who died. But Penny was like, so it was Aaliyah and Christopher Maldonado, which is when I fell into the street because Christopher was my friend, right? And then Anthony Dodd, Eric Foreman, Gina Smith, oh, God, Gina wrote my hit. Oh, my God, my change of itinerary was written by Gina. You know, Scott Gallen, Keith Wallace, and then Douglas Kranz, who was a nervous, tall, white dude from the label, who just kept telling, I was like, calm down, it's going to be a really great shoot. You got a bunch of stuff. So each of these was faces flashing in front of me. So that trip back to back home was exacerbated by the fact that the network was like, so, hi, Kevin, you have to get back home now because you have the footage that the world's talking about. Oh, crap. And so it took forever. You know, Baltimore to New York, even on a bad day, it's like 3 or 4 hours. This was, God doggone it. I didn't get back till after midnight, and we left at like 5. Because it was just call. And then I ran into the studio, 106 and Park, to try to, hey, okay, here's the footage. And Stephen Hill was there. Oh, no, it was Penny. And they probably were both there. And Penny was like, Kevin, you have to stay here tonight at EDL. They like, you know, edit, you know, do the EDL, which is the editing decision list. You know, literally a production assistant, Jay Strong, was assigned to me to rub my back and wipe my nose while I was gone.
Yeah.
But this, you know, there's a shot, you know, a shot of Aaliyah. And Christopher and Eric in the pool acting so silly, you know. Oh, this is gonna be great in the footage, in the special, but now it's got to be beautiful on the news show too. And then, you know, Barry Hankerson, who's involved in this thing now that's going on with the state. I remember his one request. He said, "Kevin, I know you have a shot, but a shot that includes everybody that's died. I need you to not have that." I was like, I wouldn't have that shot because I wasn't even conscious of it. But the last shot that I got walking everybody onto the boat was Aaliyah, Eric, Chris, Anthony. I was like, oh, crap. Oh. Literally, if you freeze the shot, there was a shot with everybody but Douglas. So, yeah. And Penny played a special role in that. All of that, that was crazy, the funeral and all that. And then trying to take care of me, trying to make sure my brain doesn't snap, Then Penny, 3 weeks, you know, 2.5 weeks later, says to me, are you ready to travel again? And I'm trying to figure out how to take care of the stress in me, but I say out loud, of course I am. Nothing happened to me, right? Like, I don't get to say I'm not well. Nothing happened to me. So on Monday night, Penny said, I need you to fly out tomorrow. You're going to L.A. to do the access credit for DMX's Who We Be And Jagged Edge had a song called Goodbye. And so get on a plane. I mean, no, so, you know, she said, so prepare to pack. You'll be on a flight in the morning. Because, you know, you fly to L.A. early, you get there early, right? And so I'm on an 8:46 flight out of Newark. She goes, oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous because you live in Harlem. It would take you longer to get through New York to Newark than it will to get to L.A. So she's like, so let me change that. She gets me out of LaGuardia. We're on this flight. We end up being told halfway into the flight, maybe a third, that they were grounding all American Airlines, American flights, and we were on American, so we thought they meant American, the airline, until we landed in Kansas City and realized they meant domestic. So they just thought to put planes down, get out the sky. It was like a parking lot, a small parking lot. And then while we were midair, somebody says, oh, my God, a plane hit Tower 1. Oh, my God, you know. Then something like, oh, my God, the Pentagon or something, then Tower 2, and we realized, oh, you know what I mean? We realized, oh, you're on a plane, you know, and because they didn't know what else was a target, they thought, if people forget that they were worried about Chicago and Dallas, just any tall thing midway, and so they took everything out of the sky. It was Penny Mack who called me in tears because Penny remembered that she had booked me out of New York, and the flight she put me on originally is the one that hit Tower 2. So my relationship with Penny is special just because when I got back home eventually, like a week later, you know, it was kind of fight through crowd, and it was Penny who was not emotional, who kind of grabbed my face and then burst into tears. That's when I realized what had really happened over these last 18 days, well, now at this time, like 23 days. I'd stay in L.A. until they would let flights come back into New York or New Jersey. And so by the time I got home, it was really, you know, people calling and checking, are you okay? But because I'm nowhere to be seen, cell service was spotty, just yeah. The gate would try to reach you and it was spotty, so it was a real mess. And so Penny McDonald will always hold a real special place.
That's you know, it's coming up on 20 years.
It's coming up on 20 years, and then all this new stuff that's coming up.
And where we are, you think about yeah. that. Like, it's almost exactly 20 years, and almost. you look at where we were then, a hot-ass mess,
yep.
and where we are now, an even hotter mess.
Right. And people don't realize that, you know, like, culturally, we really do have to remember, we were, you know, even people who didn't know Aaliyah, you know, your mama and your grandma knew her from a movie or one song, or saw her on an award show. She's so pretty. That baby's so
she was
pretty.
Adorable.
But when they saw her, they were just really taken by how beautiful she was. So we were still grieving that when 9/11 happened. So
yes.
We got pummeled. You know, there were some people for whom the Aaliyah light didn't come on. But the black community, it was, you know, 1,000 people across the street from the church. You know, when you know, how many young black girls you know named Aaliyah now?
Yeah.
Aaliyah, you know, who pronounced it Aaliyah, you know?
Exactly. And I have a great niece named Aaliyah. You know.
And so to be dealing with this stuff, for this to be coming up in the middle of this pandemic, is just it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is. It is. And you know, we started off talking about wellness, and I know for me, being a New Yorker, I'm born and bred. I've just been in Jersey, you know, for a little over
right.
a decade. But I'm a New Yorker, and I was in New York, and when your hometown, okay, is bombed, because that's what happened.
That's what happened.
It is traumatic.
It was the stuff of movies, right? I'm in the air. I can't even, my best friend David lived in Harlem, and he worked in Elmwood Park. So he's on the George Washington Bridge, like, what?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And let me tell you.
A coworker who lives in Jersey, she's like, no, come to my house. Do not go back in the city.
Yeah, if the thing was to terrorize people, yeah, I was terrorized. They okay, you won, because even to this day, I feel some kind of way going over bridges and tunnels leading back into New York and coming mm-hmm. home from New York, you know, because I still travel, you know, back and forth home. It's traumatizing, and
really is.
You know,
and how many times you still got family there? I go in for special events, but how many times are you going into New York and some stupid, you know, special effect moments from a movie revisits you?
Yeah.
Like in the Holland Tunnel, and it's like, and I'm praying the whole way to the tunnel, don't blow a wall, don't blow a wall, don't blow a wall, because some stupid movie did that, because it's New York. It's the setting for so many movies about so many terrorist acts and so many Martian attacks and so many shifts in the weather that it's like sometimes it's traumatic going into New York. I'm praying the whole time, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Exactly. You know, I just want to say that what you experienced, and there's a thing called survivor's guilt, and that stuff is real. It's as real as this, as anything that's tangible. What we experience emotionally and spiritually is just as real as any of that. And so I'm so glad that you are in the wellness, and
so
that you
wellness and in the well. I'm so glad to be well nested and well rested.
Exactly, and you know, I don't have to tell you anything about ensuring that you are at the top of your hug list. as you can tell, our little
each and every one of y'all, listen, I don't care what you do while you're doing the work of taking care of you, do that. If it's turn on some music and dance in the living room, if it's walk around your block, if it's turn your phone off, do whatever it takes to make sure you are taking care of you, period.
Exactly. Tell everybody how they can follow you, find you, and support you.
So find me at IG. If you Google Kevin E. Taylor. If he's black, he me, right? There's a Kevin E. Taylor who's an artist out of San Francisco. But find me. My IG is Kevin E. Taylor. My Twitter is Kevin E. Taylor, TM3, because the artist has that. But if you look for Kevin E. Taylor, you're going to find me. Let's connect. Let's converse. Or look up the wellness. The wellness is where you can go.
Exactly. Buy his books. He's an author. And visit his church online, Unity Fellowship, New Brunswick.
Unity Fellowship.
Did I say New Brunswick? That's subliminal. I'm sorry.
We were just
talking about that just the other day. We were saying, okay, we need Pastor to come on back up this way.
Listen.
However, Newark is the name of the church. Unity Fellowship Newark. That's what it is today. On today. So be sure.
I'll be a new Brunswick spot. We can do two services in a day.
Wouldn't that be dope? Because
boom.
You know what? Hey. And Ulysses, I want you to know. Yes, but check out your email. Something. The Christmas fairy, I mean, not the Christmas fairy, the birthday fairy is coming through. So I love you. And since I won't be able to see you, I got to, you know, hook you up in some kind
of
way. I got to reach out and touch you. Reach out and touch you. Love you. Mwah. Love you too, Pastor. Mwah, mwah. And everybody watching, God bless. And please, please, please stay safe.
Be blessed, be well.
Be blessed and be well.
What's up, y'all? This is Dawn Robinson, formerly of In Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and you're in the basement with Yvonne and Therese. My girls! I love y'all.
Hi, this is Mason. You're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
Leon from some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in the basement with Therese and Siobhan. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artist or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She just, she wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
Call our office, though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
Time. So,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.